Well, when it says they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, that no doubt they were talking to him about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, his kingdom, his death, his resurrection, his glorious return. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Well over halfway through the book of Acts on our journey. Today we're in Acts 16, and we're going through verses 30 through number 40 in the Word. And following up on the salvation of the Philippian jailer, they spoke the word of the Lord to him. After that, he was baptized. Then Paul and Silas were allowed to leave, actually requested to leave, requested to leave the prison, and they immediately went to the local church, the house of Lydia. And so the message title is, first, we believe salvation. Second, we become. He was baptized, he and his house, we become. And then when they went to the church, we belong and have a church family on earth. So let's stand together once again for a reading from the Word of the Lord, Acts chapter 16. I'll begin reading in verse number 30, and I'll read to the end of the chapter today. We'll finish up Acts 16. Hear the word of the Lord. And they brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord. That's what I just mentioned a moment ago. It's kind of almost a throwaway line, but really there's so much we need to learn from the word. They spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. What a joy just to spend time, just what we've done, without even attempting to explain it or attempting to apply it, Lord. How good it is just to read the word of the Lord. Bless now as we spend a moment here, speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to believe. Help us in the process of becoming. And even help us in the process of belonging to a local church. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing. Now bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, these really are the basics. I call this message Back to the Basics. Back to basics. Let's get back to the basics of life, Christian life. Christian life 101. That is to believe in the living word and to gain access to him through the written word. The written word, the living word, that is ground zero of all that we do here at Friendly Baptist Church. There is one Savior. His name is Jesus. There is one book. 66 books called the Bible, and we put full authority, men err, councils err, whatever errs, the Bible never errs. And we gladly hold out forth the word of life in this dark and crazy age in which we live in. So the church is to help unbelievers fall in love with the living word and fall in love with the written word. That's it. We can go home now. Everybody ready to go? Here we go. There's a little bit more to it than that, of course. Every week we come together to celebrate Jesus. Every week. Can you imagine that? You say, well, what's going on in heaven? What's this big deal? You're making way too much. You're doing preacher talk up there. You're saying this is the most important thing. What is going on in heaven right now? Worshiping of the Lord, the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, making a big deal about Him. He is the centerpiece of heaven. He is the centerpiece on earth. And I think it was Fanny Crosby who was blind from some medical treatment that she received as a child and never recovered from it. She said, when I enter heaven, the first thing my eyes will see, Jesus. Amen. First thing my eyes will see, they're celebrating Him in heaven. So we celebrate Him here on earth. Every week we focus on Christ. We celebrate Christ. Every week we focus on the Word, the written Word of the Lord. Every week we worship. When Isaiah, one moment, there's the year that King Uzziah died. You remember Isaiah 6, 52 years sitting on the throne. 52 years, great economy, great military, great, great, great. Everything's great. He dies and Isaiah's like, what in the world are we going to do? He's been king all my life. I'm at a loss as to where to go with him. Heard Brian talking about this, I think, a little bit. I caught a little bit of his Sunday school class in the fellowship hall. And Isaiah found himself in the middle of a worship service all of a sudden, thinking about Uzziah. Who's going to sit on the throne? The Lord is sitting on His throne. How long is He going to serve? 52 years? He's going to serve forever. He's always been there. He is there. He will always be there. How glorious is He? I've seen a lot of pomp and circumstance in my life. A lot of robes, a lot of crowns, a lot of music. A robe filled the whole temple, smoke, the pillars, the inanimate objects, things that aren't supposed to move suddenly began to move in the pillars of the... He found himself in the midst on earth of the most thrilling moment of his life, worship. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Revelation. You can say, we could line 10 people up and we'd get 10 different opinions on the book of Revelation. I bet you're right here this morning. But let me tell you one thing for sure about the book of Revelation. You see some thrilling moments of worship in heaven above. It is glorious. And so we're back to the basics here. To believe, then to become, and then to belong. It's as though the Philippian jailer and his experience is a prototype, a model, a blueprint for all of our lives, as you see the changes that the Lord made in his life. Let's start with believe, verse 30 and 32. And that's where the basics start. Believe. Christianity, first initial step to believe. And 30, 31, and 32, 30, they brought them out and said, sirs, oh, sirs, it's almost like I heard the little demon-possessed girls that said, you are the servants of the Most High God, showing us the way of salvation. Sirs, I heard what she said out in the street. I've experienced a physical earthquake. I've experienced my own earthquake. You could have escaped. Your chains fell off. The doors open. Literally, this jail is left in shambles. I heard her say, you show the way of salvation. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Philippian jailer is ground zero for what I'm talking about today. Step one, believe. Step two, become. Step three, belong. Believe is where it all starts. Embrace Christ. Embrace what the Word says about Christ. My wife and I received a text from a young lady that's struggling spiritually. She said, I no longer believe what the Word says about several things in my life. And my wife and I were we're so crushed. It's not someone that you know. It's someone that we minister to outside of the church. But to not believe the word, and for her to say, you know, the world says this, and the world says, what is God? Who is God think he is to say that there's only one way, only this is the only right way, and that there's no other way? I no longer embrace that thought in my heart. Now, we're not giving up on her. We'll continue. But to embrace the living word, to embrace the living word. Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. One goal: help people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to help them become, to baptize them, and then to help them belong in planting churches along the way. What does believing look like? Say, preacher, believe, please explain. It means to trust. It means to embrace. It means to put my weight on. It means to repent. It means a myriad of things. It means whatever, get out of my way, everybody. I'm going to Jesus. That's what it means to believe. The jailer sprang in. He ran to Paul. He said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It means trust, submit, repent, believe. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, letting him know that he had eternal life, letting him know his sins were forgiven, letting him know his conscience was clean, letting him know the Holy Spirit was in his heart, letting him know the joy of adoption, letting him know about righteousness and prayer, etc. Believe the living word, believe the written word. If God is the author of the Bible, and he is, it is a reliable guide for us every step of the way. I read with interest the testimony this week of Martin Luther. He said he had tried everything. He fasted and prayed so much as a monk that he literally destroyed his digestive system. I think he died early because he had fasted so long. He tried to monk his way into heaven. And fasting, prayer. Other monks would come in and spend time in confession, 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Luther would go in for hours. But he came up against the word of the Lord and found something that he had never, no one had ever told him, no one had ever enlightened him on. He studied the book of Romans. He hated an expression in the book, the righteousness of God. He knew he was unrighteousness. People would say, do you love God, Martin? He would say, love God? I hate God. He's righteous. I'm not righteous. I'm never going to make it to heaven. And he did not like that expression, the righteousness of God, and which he thought gave God a reason to punish us. But this is what he said. In his own words, night and day I pondered until I finally realized that the righteousness of God is that righteousness which, through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies us by faith. And he read the words, the just shall live by faith. And he said, those words in the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, the just shall live by faith, became my gateway to heaven. Through the word. John Wesley, same thing. He was on a ship. He had been to Georgia, had a terrible ministry. United States wasn't a nation yet. It was still just a land under development a little over 250 years ago. He was here going back, big storm. Wesley was on the ship. He saw some Moravians, perfect peace. He was panicked. He thought, my soul, I'm going to die. We're all going to die. How can you guys have peace? My soul. And he asked them, how can you have peace out here in the midst of this storm? And they said, we have trusted Christ. His testimony went something like this. While he was describing the change, those Moravians, which God worked in his heart through faith in Christ, he said, I felt my own heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ. Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins. He was warmed by the word. Romans helped Wesley. Romans helped Luther. Romans helped Augustine. Romans, the word of the Lord. They said they shared unto him the word of the Lord. Men often err. God never errs. We can go to the word and I can week by week spend my life, 1,000 lives, preaching the word of the Lord. Christ alone, scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone are the supreme, these are the supreme authority of the church. They shared with him the word of the Lord. It's a throwaway sentence. Not at all. It is everything, for sure. Well, after he believed, he became. He said, what difference did it really make in his life? 33 and 34, he took them the same hour. The same guy responsible for beating them. The same guy who locked them in shackles. The same guy who shut the prison doors and didn't give them a nurse or anything to drink or anything to help them at all. He took them the same hour that he believed. He said, was there a change in his life? Absolutely. He washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his straightway. He even took them into his own house. You see a change? Do you see a change of becoming? What it means to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Things change in your life. You say, no, before Christ, after Christ, I'm still the same crummy guy I've always been, born this way. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. If you're still the same crummy guy that you were before Christ, I would question my salvation. And if you're still as mean as a junkyard dog as after Christ as before Christ, I would absolutely question my salvation. After his salvation, he says, boys, let me get you out of this prison into my house. Boys, I need to be baptized. The beauty of baptism. Boys, let me wash your wounds. Let me feed you some food. He was completely changed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, after believing, he was becoming. I don't know what his wife said to him. New husband. And if she got saved, new wife. And if the children would see daddy come home every night, drunk, swearing, grouchy old man, new daddy, all things new. Paul would write, if any man be in Christ, behold, all things have become, old things passed away, all things become new. And that is exactly what happened to the Philippian jailer. Baptism, he's baptized. You say, baptism saving? No, baptism doesn't save anyone. You can be baptized in every baptismal font in the whole wide world. Fish can know your social security number. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. But as soon as you are a Christian, born again, go find a church. Go ask for the rite of baptism to represent the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would even question the salvation of someone who says, I know Christ, I just will not be baptized. It's not that baptism saves you. It just follows that you will be baptized. It's the first step of obedience. In baptism, we publicly confess our faith. I believe in Jesus. In baptism, we say, he lived, he was buried, he died, he rose again. And in baptism, we're saying, I lived, I was buried, and I died with him. And I've risen to walk in newness of life from this day. Baptism is a beautiful image of what Christ has done for us. They spoke the word of the Lord to him. Armor to wear, spoke the word of the Lord to him. Race to run, spoke the word of the Lord to him. Get a Bible in hand. Believers are a new creation. A second ordinance, the Lord's Supper, is beautiful. It radiates. The Lord's Supper radiates the very glory of Christ in flesh and blood, causing us to look back to a sinless life being offered for sinners. Believers, once we believe, we are becoming what? More and more transformed into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when in heaven. We cross the threshold of heaven. We cross it. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. But we are increasingly becoming like him here. And I think that's a beautiful thing. He believed and then he became. He was becoming. There's an instant change. It's noted in Scripture. Can you say, I believe in Jesus?
Amen.
Can you say, I'm becoming like Jesus? And I hope you can say amen to that. I'm not what I will be, but I'm sure not what I was. I'm becoming more and more like him every day. Lastly, I want you to think about belonging. 35, it reads this way. And so, it was day. The magistrates came, told the sergeants, delegated, go get them out. The sergeant went down and told them, boys, the magistrates say you can leave. And Paul says, leave? You've beat me. I'm not convicted of anything. You've beaten me. Did you know I'm a Roman? And when he said that, this little Roman colony, they all thought, oh boy, what have we done now? We have taken a Roman citizen and treated them like they are a nobody. They are Romans. He played the Roman card. I'm a Roman. And if they want me to leave, let them come down here and tell me themselves that I should leave. They're not going to delegate this. I want to talk personally to them. This caused widespread panic. The sergeants went back. They're Romans. The thought was that all of these people could lose their very careers, their lives, everything, because they have mistreated unknowingly a Roman citizen. And so they say, please, beg them, please, dear God, please leave. And so they go. And where do they go? We are told they go to Lydia's house. Not a throwaway sentence. Lydia's house is the local church. Lydia was a wealthy woman, seller of purple. We think either she was a widow or forever single. Don't know much about her. Beautiful. The Lord opened her heart. She invited everyone to come into her home. The early church in Philippi was located at Lydia's house. They go to Lydia's house. They encourage the brethren. They comfort the brethren. And it's a beautiful scene of them going to the church. After you believe, as you become, you need to belong to a local body of believers. Paul was going across Asia, going across Europe, going across, seeing souls saved, but planning souls saved in one hand, planting churches in the other hand, so that in Corinth there was a church, in Rome there was a church, in Philippi there was a church, in Colossae there was a church, in Thessalonica there was a church, in Rome there was a church in all of these cities, and all of these letters are written to these churches. You believe, you become, and then we're told you belong. No one chose to escape. Everyone stayed. It impacted that entire city. The house of Lydia is not just where she pillows her head at night. That is the church. And that is where they went. That is where you go after you believe. As you become, you need to belong. Christ is the head of his church. You say, I've been in church. Church is the worst thing you can do. Church, I've suffered so much church abuse. Church, you say church, my spiritual reflexes gag. I think it's the worst thing you can do for your soul is to join a church. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ said, I am the head of the church. Have a little bit of a disabled body, but I'm the head of the church. And he has joined his perfect head to us. And it is a glorious sight to behold. The church is called his body. The church is called his bride. The church helps us to grow in our faith. Luther would say, if God is our father, the church is our mother. We bring the lost to Christ, and we bring the saved to the church. That's what the Philippian jailer did. He believed, he changed, he became, and then he belonged. I would love to have worshipped in that church, to have seen Lydia sitting there. to have seen the Philippian jailer sitting there with his family. Maybe to have seen the formerly demon-possessed slave girl, the maid of Satan, sitting there worshiping the Lord. You talk about people that normally wouldn't have anything to do with one another, a jailer, a wealthy businesswoman, and a former demon-possessed gal. You talk about people that wouldn't touch each other with a 10-foot pole. There they are in the church at Philippi, worshiping Christ because they believed. They are becoming, and now they belong. The church is a precious place. The church is the household of God. The church I think the only reason for its existence is that Christ said, I will build it, I will protect it, and because the world has done everything in its power to destroy this church and the churches around the world. If you're here today and you haven't believed, guess what? Let's do that today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you are not becoming, you say, I'm dug in. I'm like a bull looking at a new gate. I'm not going through that gate. You're not going to change me. If you're not becoming, come for prayer. If you're here today and you need to be baptized, or you need to begin partaking of the Lord's Supper, or you need to do more of this becoming like the Philippian jailer went through, come for prayer today. If you're here today and you need a home, a church home, say, I am churchless. I've got the believing part down. I've got the becoming part down. I'm failing at this belonging part. You can come home and become part of Friendly Baptist Church today. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Lord, we thank you for time and seasons that we have to worship you. I know that that's what the saints are doing above. We are just tuning our hearts to sing your praise. There may be someone here today, Lord, who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior of their life. I pray that today would be a day of believing, coming to faith in Christ. Lord, there may be those who are struggling with this becoming. They've trusted Christ. Willfully neglected to be baptized, or willfully neglected to partake of the Lord's Supper, or willfully, just not put on the armor of God. I'm not running the race. I'm not fighting the fight. I'm not keeping the faith. Lord, help us to be becoming. And if there's some struggling with that, may they come today for prayer. Belonging. If anyone needs a church home today, Lord, may they come today and become part of Friendly Baptist and worship here, serve here, grow in their faith. Every week, every day, Lord, we will bless you for what your Spirit is doing in hearts and lives. We love you, Lord. Speak to us now. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our souls. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 480. We're in that large hymnal. I sometimes forget to say that. We use that large hymnal on Sunday morning. 480. Only trust him. Stand together. Let's sing together as we wrap up our service. If there's a believing issue, becoming issue, belonging issue, you come as we sing 480 together.
Come every soul, I sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.